Jordan Reed, I need to know what your reaction was when this happened.
With the 8th pick in the 2024 NFL Draft, the Atlanta Falcons select Michael Penix Jr.
Well, there it is.
Washington.
That is the first surprise of the NFL Draft, to say the least.
Oh, my God. My mouth was on the floor. I could not believe it at all. It was just shock, honestly. It was something that nobody really predicted would happen.
Mike.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, man, you ready to be a Falcon, bro?
Yes, sir. Let's do it.
Hey, man. You think we flew across the country not to make you a Falcon, bro?
Come on. You know, I'm excited, man. I appreciate it. Yes, sir. I'm ready.
And, you know, you see the mock drafts every year, myself included. I thought Atlanta was going to go defense just because they had a need at edge rusher. There's some other positions that they were looking at as well. But quarterback was the last position that I thought they would go, just because they gave Kirk Cousins the big money. And I thought they would have a little bit more faith in him.
So the quarterback succession plan, which seems like this, you know, is for the Falcons. These are rarely clean transitions of power, right? But this one feels especially messy. So on a scale of 1 to 10, how likely is this going to blow up in the Falcons' face?
Ooh, man, you put me on the spot. I would say probably an 8, honestly, right now, just because I think the whole move just creates a lot of unnecessary drama. Everything that Kirk Cousins does is going to be put under the microscope, just because now you have the shadow of Michael Penix Jr. being behind him. So if Kirk Cousins goes out, he has a bad game, he throws an interception, whatever it is, whatever he does bad, there's always going to be heightened expectations for him now, just because of Penix now being in the building.
There's no doubt that the biggest surprise of the NFL draft was the Falcons taking Michael Penix with the 8th overall pick, just weeks after guaranteeing Kirk Cousins $100 million to be their signal caller. But now, with Atlanta's rookie minicamp opening up on Friday, we'll all get our first look at Penix in a Falcons jersey. So today, ESPN NFL draft and college football analyst Jordan Reed explains what the succession plan looks like and tells us whether this is all going to be a huge mess down in the ATL. I'm David Dennis Jr., in for Clinton Yates. It's Thursday, May 9th. This is ESPN Daily.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home some huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Jordan, the Falcons have experienced a pretty good deal of stability at quarterback, actually, over the past two decades, especially in comparison to other teams, from Michael Vick to Matt Ryan, controversies in between, notwithstanding. But how has the quarterback picture looked since Atlanta parted ways with Ryan in 2022?
Yeah, it's been, they've been trying to patchwork it, honestly, with Marcus Mariota. He came in, he didn't play well.
Still can't figure out what Mariota is doing tonight with some of these decisions. And the body is down, obviously.
Yep.
And then he just throws it without really knowing, having any idea where it might go. He just decides to put the ball in the air.
Desmond Ridder, who was a third round selection for them, they thought he possibly could be the answer, but that proved to not be true in his first year as a starter.
Play clock and one again. Just barely gets it off. Ridder chucks it. Intercepted! Picked off! and a brutal decision by Desmond Ridder.
Taylor Heinicke has really been sprinkled in. So they've done the patchwork thing. But now with Terry Fontenot, the GM of the Falcons, who I'm talking about, he's seen what's happened during that time. He goes out, he spends a lot of money on a big market free agent. But with Kirk Cousins coming off of the torn Achilles last year, and let's say things don't go as planned, that he doesn't prove to be the guy that we saw pre-injury, he wanted to go ahead and have some insurance behind that, as opposed to going into the 2025 draft, now potentially looking for a quarterback with them having the number 8 overall pick. He wanted to go ahead and get that insurance policy put in place, and that's why they drafted Penix.
These are not easy decisions. These are tough decisions. When you can add a high caliber player like that with his intangibles, those tools, he's a winner. Very, very excited. You don't pass up that opportunity. Kirk Cousins is our quarterback. We're very excited about Kirk, very excited about this team. Michael Penix is, we're talking about the future.
So with us having that information, Jordan, what exactly is the plan here?
Well, I think for them, they're going to give Kirk Cousins every opportunity to prove that he can be the guy. And that's why you signed him. It essentially is a 2-year contract that's worth $180 million over a 4-year period. But they're going to give him a year or two to show that he can be the guy. But if he shows that he is not who they thought he was as far as that pre-injury guy. And I will say Kirk was playing very well in Minnesota prior to the devastating Achilles injury last season. But if he's not that guy, now you see what Penix has, and hopefully you have a franchise quarterback.
So let's talk about actually how they, you know, cultivate this backup plan. In today's NFL, with more games and fewer practices than ever, how do you even go about developing a quarterback who isn't seeing the field on game days?
I think that's the tough part about all of this. And we've seen it work both ways, as far as whether you throw a quarterback in there super early or you have them wait a year, even multiple years. We saw how that paid off for the Packers with Jordan Love. And historically, that's worked for them. So with Penix, I think the difficult part for him is that he's going to be getting a ton of reps in OTAs, rookie minicamp, minicamp in general, and even in training camp. But there's nothing like those live in-game reps, which is something that he's not going to get a whole bunch of. So you have things that really can expedite his development. They have the virtual reality stuff that a lot of teams are really investing in. So they just really have to trust and see how he's handling those in practice reps. And then eventually we'll see how it does translate to the game reps if he does get those opportunities.
Yeah. And the Cousins part of this is where it really, really kind of gets spicy here, because Cousins has been the guy in Minnesota since 2018. And there are reports that part of the reason he was ready to move out of Minnesota was because the Vikings were open with him about the plan to draft his successor in this past offseason, right? So what's your understanding about how much Cousins knew about the Falcons' plan to do just that and take Penix in this draft?
Well, I wouldn't say they blindsided him, but I think they're just looking out for themselves, just because, once again, they want to have that insurance policy in place, and they don't want to be in a situation of where they're playing musical chairs with those quarterbacks and trying to figure out who the guy is. But a really interesting part about all of this, and where I don't really understand coming from Cousins' standpoint, is that you haven't shown to be a winner during your time as a starter. So from the Falcons standpoint, I get it. I don't see him as a quarterback that doesn't deserve to not have a quarterback behind them, or a highly drafted quarterback, or seen it as a slap in the face. I just don't really see that with Kirk Cousins. It's not like he's an Aaron Rodgers or, you know, a Tom Brady or somebody like that that's proven to be a winner during their time as a starter.
Okay, so if Kirk Cousins is not good enough to not have a successor, is he good enough for $100 million guaranteed dollars?
Well, I think that's what you see a lot with these free agent quarterbacks. You have to overpay in order to get them in your building. That's what happens a lot of times, just because it's not very common for these types of high end, top 12 types of quarterbacks to hit the open market. So with Atlanta, they did have to overpay to get him to sign with the Falcons. But with Kirk, I think he's going to be given some opportunities to show that he can be the guy long term for Atlanta. Don't see it as a slap in the face or anything like that. You believe that you're the quarterback that doesn't need a successor or a succession plan in place. Use it as motivation, as opposed to a team trying to replace you.
Falcons GM Terry Fontenot said,
if you believe in a quarterback, you have to take him. And if he sits for 4 or 5 years, that's a great problem to have, because we're doing so well at that position.
Would you put him in his late 20s right about this time? But come on, Jordan, like, how is this going to work, especially in a city like Atlanta? I know there's going to be pressure to put Penix on the field. How do you even navigate all that?
And this is what I was talking about. It's going to create a lot of unnecessary drama and possibly division in the locker room, especially if Kirk has one bad game or let's say consecutive bad games. There's always going to be those voices in the locker room and the media that says, hey, let's put Penix in. Let's see what he can do, just because it's not like he's a 20 or 21 year old rookie quarterback walking through the door. We're talking about somebody that's an older rookie quarterback. And now you don't want to burn the entire part of his contract, especially 4 or 5 years, just because it just essentially wasted a first round pick, especially a top 10 pick. You don't want to waste those type of premium selections.
So doesn't it feel like, especially given Penix's age, if he develops the way that they hope, he'll be unseating Cousins maybe sooner than we think, right?
Yeah, I agree. Just because the best dynamic of building a roster in the NFL is having a cheap quarterback. We've seen a lot of teams being able to maximize that. We saw it with Patrick Mahomes when he was younger. We saw it with Brock Purdy now with the San Francisco 49ers. They haven't been able to get the job done in the Super Bowl, but just how loaded their roster is on both sides of the ball. Atlanta will be in a similar situation with Penix if he does go out there and he does play well. Now you have a cheap quarterback on that rookie deal for essentially 4 or 5 years to where they can figure out and load up on some more spots in their roster just because they have a cheap quarterback. So that would be the advantage if Penix does go out there and he plays well.
All right. So walk me through this logic here, which is sort of placate some of the Atlanta folks a little bit. Like, isn't this the best case scenario if Penix ends up panning out and taking Cousins' job, right? Because, I mean, yes, they spent $100 million on Cousins, but isn't it worth it to spend that kind of money if you have an actual franchise quarterback that'll take you to the next level? So Penix, you know, unseating Cousins earlier than later is probably the best outcome out of all of this, right?
Yeah, it would be. And I mean, you have the dead money attached to certain contracts, and I don't have the contract here in front of me, but I'm sure the number is very, very high. But after that second year of the deal, it probably gets a little bit easier as far as being for them to get away from it. We saw what the Broncos did with Russell Wilson this year and how teams are more willing to take on that dead cap number and basically admitting that they were wrong about the quarterback. So if Penix does go out there and he plays well this year, I think things are going to get really interesting as far as how much dead cap money would they be willing to swallow if Kirk Cousins ends up not being the starter after this year.
Let's talk about Patrick Mahomes and some parallels possibly here, right? Because he was sitting behind Alex Smith in Kansas City, didn't get much action, but there were stories about how Andy Reid knew what he had in Mahomes. Smith, of course, ended up being traded away with 1 year left in his contract. How can Penix follow a similar path this year in Atlanta?
Well, I think it comes down to you see it in practice, but I think the one area that is so underrated about Patrick is that he had an opportunity to start the final game in his rookie year, and you saw some of the throws that he was able to make in that game.
Rookie Patrick Mahomes on 2nd and 17. Mahomes trying to get him closer, heading the wrong way, and still has the arm strength to hit DeMarcus Robinson.
And it doesn't take you very long to see if a quarterback has it or not, especially early on. So let's say the Falcons do end up clinching the NFC South very early and they lock up, let's say, an early seed in the playoffs. If Penix is able to go out there and prove that, you know, he has some of the traits that you look for in the position, I think that's another interesting factor moving forward that's going to make things really interesting, just because you're going to see some whispers about Penix potentially being the guy after this season, especially if Kirk's playoff success replicates what we have seen in years past. And I believe he only has one playoff win during his 6 years with the Vikings. So there could be some media or some fans or people within the organization that could say, hey, this guy maybe has bumped his head on the ceiling of what he could be in the NFL, and they may want to see what Penix has moving forward. So that would be one of the parallels that I draw from the Mahomes situation that could be mirrored in the future by what Penix shows if he does end up getting some action later on in his rookie year.
Coming up, why Michael Penix could be more than just an on-the-field answer for the Falcons.
Two guys drove to work. Neither guy wore a seatbelt. One guy got a ticket. One guy didn't. The same two guys drove home. One guy wore a seatbelt. One guy didn't. One guy made it home. The guy not wearing his seatbelt didn't. Don't risk it. Click it or ticket. Paid for by NHTSA.
Delicious meat, nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, Wonderful Pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Trust me, I've been eating them like there's no tomorrow all week. Wonderful Pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with your family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you, like me, are on the go a lot. Taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries, whatever it may be. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful Pistachios a complete protein providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snack game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So I wrote on Anscaped last week that in a vacuum, right, this feels like a major franchise pick for the team. It's been nearly 20 years since the Michael Vick era ended in Atlanta. And for the first time since then, the Falcons have a shot to have a black star quarterback in America's blackest city. What could that mean for Penix to become that guy in a city like Atlanta?
Well, it's huge, especially when you talk about one of the most influential, not only football players, but athletes from an on-the-field perspective. It is Michael Vick.
Welcome to the Michael Vick Experience. Please wait for the next available chair.
Enjoy the ride.
Welcome to my ride.
Vick was in trouble for the moment. He's going to now make the Rams in trouble as he runs to the open field. Great protection for Vick. Slings it over the middle. It's caught for a touchdown by Sean Jefferson.
You can do everything right and still be wrong. Roger Villamilla has control of it. He has containment. He has everything. Michael Vick just makes a great, straightens out his face mask, gets his helmet back on right, and then goes back the other way.
Well, that's not in the playbook, but it should be.
And I grew up during the height of the Michael Vick era. You're seeing him on Madden covers. You're seeing him in different arenas outside of the game and how influential he was as far as everybody wanted to be like him and replicate the game that he showed on the field just because everything was so different about him. He had the 4.2 speed, was the number one overall pick when he was coming out.
Vick on 2nd and 8, off the play fake, has some running room, inside the 30, inside the 20, Vick. Goodbye. Into the end zone, Falcons win in overtime, a 46-yard touchdown run, his second touchdown run of the game.
There were so many things that he was influential with from an on-the-field perspective that I could see Penix having very similar circumstances with as far as just the charisma.
There was another left-handed quarterback for the Falcons named Michael. I don't know if you ever heard of him before, but
for sure.
Have you seen any highlights of him, and what do you think? What did you think about watching him play back in the day? Either through highlights or whatever.
Yeah, for sure, man. I definitely watched him. He was my favorite quarterback. Had the Vick cleats and all, you know, when I was a kid. So, man, yeah, he did great things here. You know, obviously, I keep in contact with him now. You know,
his story is awesome of how he overcame those 4 season-ending injuries in consecutive seasons. The swag and the aura that he has, I think that's something that is going to be very magnetic in Atlanta. So I could see a lot of things carrying over, like what we saw with Vick from an on-the-field perspective.
Talk to me about a city like Atlanta and how they embrace these stars. We see some of these cities and how they embrace these black quarterbacks, especially when their population reflects that. We see Lamar Jackson in Baltimore and other places like that. How will a city like Atlanta sort of wrap itself around Michael Penix once he starts, you know, to assert himself as a starter, as you know, people are speculating could be the case soon?
Yeah, I mean, it won't take long. I call Atlanta East Side Los Angeles just because there's so many things as far as culturally how they just welcome star players. And we've seen it in so many different other sports as well. But, you know, a black left-handed quarterback, everybody's going to draw those similar parallels to Michael Vick. But with Michael Penix, I think he has the personality that everybody's going to love in Atlanta. And then if he goes out and he shows that he can win ball games, I think he's going to be welcomed, not only on the field, but we've seen so many different arenas, whether it's, you know, hip hop culture. There's so many different areas of where we will start to see Michael Penix pop up in as well.
And you know, one of the things that's interesting about the Falcons is their relationship with Black quarterbacks since Vic, especially in the Black quarterbacks they missed out on, right? They pursued Deshaun Watson in spite of the sexual misconduct allegations against him. And then the very next year, when Lamar Jackson sort of announced that he would be available, Arthur Blank was quick to say there was no interest in him because he was worried about injuries, despite the fact that Deshaun Watson ended up being the one injured. So now you have Michael Penix Jr. as the Black quarterback they finally been able to put on the roster as their potential franchise quarterback. What do you take away from that history and them finally landing on Penix?
Well, it's a team that's been starving for a really good quarterback. They haven't had one since Matt Ryan and the glory days of when he was able to lead them to a Super Bowl.
Second down, Ryan escapes, gonna run, has some room, and a touchdown. And that's it. The Atlanta Falcons, NFC champions, on to Super Bowl 51.
Even though they weren't able to finish with the victory, this is a team that has not had a franchise quarterback in a very long time. Over the past three or four seasons, there just hasn't been that consistency there. And they've had some swings and some misses with Lamar and, you know, with Deshaun Watson. So they've tried, but they just haven't been able to seal the deal. So now they wanted to double down this time, getting Kirk Cousins. But also, if things don't work out with him, now you have Penix ready to go as well.
And of course, I know you're a little bit younger than me. I don't know if you've seen Any Given Sunday, which now is 25 years old, believe it or not. But aren't you seeing some kind of parallels with the Jamie Foxx, Willie Beeman, Michael Penix coming in, taking on the older quarterback? Is it just me, or are you seeing that too?
I'm only 32, so I'm not super old. But if you haven't seen Any Given Sunday, I have some questions about how loyal you are as a football fan.
The inches we need are everywhere around us.
Hell yeah.
They're in every break of the game, every minute, every second. On this team, we fight for that inch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that inch. We claw with our fingernails for that inch. Because we know when we add up all those inches, that's gonna make the f-ing difference between winning and losing.
There is a lot of similar parallels, and you can just see Michael Penix Jr., the aura, the charisma, him being Willie Beeman.
My name is Willie. With a demon, I keep the ladies cold cream, and all my fans, I got them screaming. If you can defeat me, you're dreaming.
Steaming Willie Beeman, that's one of my favorite movies ever.
So there's been a lot made about Caleb Williams coming in and the team that he's inheriting in Chicago and all the weapons around him. But the Falcons are no slouches either, right? Penix is, and, you know, will be behind Cousins, but they have a lot of offensive talent there. Could you talk about what's surrounding these two quarterbacks?
Yeah, I mean, I think they've done a really good job of improving their offensive depth chart this year. And I thought Atlanta had a really underrated offensive line. We've seen them draft really good over the past few years. Chris Lindstrom, they've signed him to the big deal. I think he's a really good player. They got Matthew Bergeron in the second round a year ago. Jake Matthews, he signed a big deal a couple of years ago. He's their left tackle. So they have a lot of intriguing pieces up front, but I thought they underutilized their skill positions last year, which is why they ended up parting ways with Arthur Smith. But this is an offense that has a lot of young players that I think are ready to explode. Bijan Robinson, who they spent the first round pick on last year, he's going to be manning the backfield along with who I think is a really good backup, and Tyler Algier, who they got in the fifth round a couple of years ago. And then you have Kyle Pitts, who I think has a chance to be one of the better tight ends in the NFL. They just need to feed him more consistently. And then also, I feel the same about Drake London, who was a top 10 pick a couple years ago as well. They signed Darnell Mooney this offseason, who I thought was really underrated during his time in Chicago. And then they brought over Rondale Moore as well. So with the skill positions, I think they have a ready-made group that are ready to welcome a quarterback. And then the offensive line, I think, is very underrated as well.
The Falcons, do they need to move Matthews to the other side with the left-handed quarterback entering the fold here?
I think that's really interesting, honestly, and something that a lot of people haven't really thought about. I would leave him on the same side just because he's shown that he's consistent there. And when you're switching offensive linemen from different sides, I think things could deteriorate for them a lot just because they're learning a new position and they're learning new mechanisms and details and nuances and mannerisms of the position as well. And I don't want to create two holes by making one bad move. And what I mean by that is I have a hole at left tackle and right tackle now just because I have somebody learning a new position. And they already have Caleb McGarry as well, somebody that they spent a high pick on as well. So they're just going to have to trust him to reach those new levels or heightened levels of his development.
As we're at the end here, what are you going to be watching closely for to get a feeling for how the situation is evolving?
Just to see how healthy Kirk Cousins is. And I know they put out some social media clips about a week ago now of Kirk Cousins throwing in 7-on-7. And, you know, he was dropping, he was throwing the ball. Everything looked fine, but there's no pass rush coming at him. So how does he adjust when those pass rush guys come at him? How does he adjust to those live moving bodies moving around him as well, especially with him coming off of a torn Achilles? That's going to be a big hurdle for him to climb this year. Just the physical and the psychological aspects of throwing the football with other people surrounding you and coming at you full speed. So how quickly does it take Kirk Cousins to show that he can be the guy that he was pre-injury? And then how good does Penix look in the preseason? And if he does get some early season action, how long do they stay with Kirk Cousins? So there's going to be a lot of quote-unquote chaos with the Falcons, and Kirk Cousins is really going to be put under the microscope to see how good he does look, especially early on.
All right, Jordan, thanks so much for all of this. Before you go, I got to ask you to finish this sentence. They call me Willie.
Willie Beeman. Steaming Willie Beeman, man, of course.
There we go. Willie Beeman. You got to harmonize it, man. Come
keep,
on,
keep
man.
The girl, keep the girls screaming.
My name is Willie. With a beam, and I keep the ladies cold cream, and all my fans, I got a scream. If you can defeat me, you're dreaming.
There you go. There we go. That's what I'm talking about, man.
There we go.
I'm David Dennis Jr. This has been ESPN Daily. We'll talk to you tomorrow.